Welcome back to another episode of the Huxley Morton podcast, the show where each week we speak to pharma company owners and industry leaders sharing their stories of personal and professional growth. We're now on series 4 of the show, and as you may already be aware, we're on a mission to help clinical researchers from around the world with tips, tricks, and inspiration. So if you could do me a quick favor and please hit that follow or subscribe button, it really does help more than you'll ever know. For now though, sit back, relax, and let's take things from here. This week, I am joined by David Paikin. Now, David is somebody that I came across online a while back, and I have to say, I don't really know how to describe you, David. So look, I guess perhaps in your own words, I mean, how would you describe yourself or what you do and your vision?
Yeah, so I think, thank you for having me, by the way.
You're welcome. This
is probably a corny way to put it, but I honestly just look at myself as, you know, one human just trying to help some other humans that are in the same scenario that I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for me to say that I'm a career coach or, you know, a guru, because I know a lot of the practices that happen within that world. And as somebody who doesn't charge for anything and gives out everything for free, that just doesn't seem like the right label. So essentially, you know, what I do is I saw that early on in my career, I didn't see a lot of people who were actually young professionals sharing their journey, mm-hmm. And sharing what worked for them. And I felt like that was a really missed opportunity, because a lot of professional, basically this is what I saw in a nutshell. A lot of young professionals are people who are early on in their career. They're focused on their job. They're not necessarily in a position where they want to risk anything as far as giving their opinions online or doing something that might risk, you know, hurting their career or somebody hears the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So that was going on. Then two, you had people on the career coaching side where I basically saw that all they were doing was giving out some teaser or something that was like very, you know, surface level, didn't actually solve the problem, but was claiming to, mm-hmm. and then would get you into their email sales funnel so that they could sell you on their courses, coaching, eBooks, masterclasses.
Yeah.
And then three, on the recruiter side, what I saw was that there was a lot of recruiters who may have been wanting to share some of the stuff that I think are actually, you know, not actually good, but things that they can't necessarily share, because they start sharing, hey, like, you should be negotiating for a higher salary. You should be pitting offers with other companies, mm-hmm. so that you get a bidding war to get better salary and to get raises at your current job. Like, this type of stuff is something that you wouldn't see a recruiter necessarily say if they're representing the company, or an HR person, an HR generalist say if they're representing the company. And so I saw that there was basically this information gap, in large part because the conflicts of interest between individually what people want to do. So I said, okay, I'm going to take a massive risk, potentially ruin my career, and start saying things that might not necessarily be appreciated by companies that I work at or just people in general. And my goal was always to make sure that I was putting the job seeker or the person who is trying to find opportunities first. And I think that, mm-hmm. that's something that's really missing, or was definitely missing at the time, is still probably missing in large part in the space, is that all of the different parties that have some type of financial interest in getting you into their course or coaching, or getting you a job but not necessarily giving you the highest salary possible because they want to conserve their own budget. You know, that was basically where I came in and tried to provide my free resources and perspective.
Yeah, no, look, it's incredible. So in a nutshell, it's kind of, you are offering all of the tips, tricks, and advice to job seekers to land jobs, negotiate better salaries, basically make themselves more marketable, but for free, unlike the million and one, or God knows how many there are now, kind of marketing experts, gurus, influencers on LinkedIn who are selling courses left, right, and center.
You know, at the beginning, it wasn't me claiming to be an expert or giving advice even. It was just me sharing my perspective. And I think that's a big difference. You see a lot of people who are going in and, like, they might have gotten a job at Google out of college, or they might have gone and, you know, now they're working in tech. And then they're saying, well, you know, go and look at my, you know, as a career coach, you should now be listening to me and all this stuff that's going on. I didn't say that people should listen to me as an expert or a guru or a coach. I simply was sharing my perspective. And I think that oftentimes, because, again, the financial interest, to your point about the courses, the coaching, masterclasses, whatever they're trying to sell, is kind of like in their mind, rather than trying to help their actual individual community members that they're allegedly trying to build.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of these people will say, hey, I want to build a community. And then the instant that they have a post go viral, or the instant that, you know, they have a post that's doing semi better, instantly they have the link to their, you know, coaching session, or book with me for, you know, my course. And so, you know, when you see that happening over and over again, well, of course, you know, the audience isn't stupid. The people watching your podcast is not stupid. They can see through with your intent and your actions. And so I think that what would do a lot of people better is just sharing either their perspective if they don't necessarily have a track record, or two, just, you know, going in and basically sharing their perspective in a way that is not necessarily trying to say, well, you should listen to me because I've done it.
Yeah. Look, I absolutely love this. I mean, as you know, I run a recruiting business, but I'm all for transparency. I'm happy to say it how it is. And I do the same with candidates as I do with clients. And I think that that transparency is where you actually get the best matches. And I would expect top candidates to be able to negotiate. And likewise, I would expect a good hiring manager who's actually got the best interest of their business at heart to want people that are happy to negotiate, because once they're in the door, they're going to be much more valuable than the extra 10K that you've just had to fork out on the basis of that negotiation. So it's, you know, it really boils down to just people just doing the right thing. But look, what's your background? As you say, you work, like, you saw all of this going on. Yeah. And you were like, you know, I'm going to take a big risk. Weren't sure how it was, you know, impact your career. I mean, what were you doing at that time?
I mean, when I first started putting out, you know, my first videos, this was like years back when I was still working full time. And you know, what I realized was that the platforms that I was posting on just didn't have the reach to be able to actually, you know, get to an audience that I could help. Mm-hmm. And so along came TikTok after I had spent about a month doing a number of different things. I did like Twitch streaming and stuff like that, doing chess. Yeah. So there's like a bunch of stuff before that, but you know, basically I had worked full time. I, you know, during, you know, the pandemic,
what were you doing? What type of work was it? Was it in the marketing type space?
No, not at all. It was the complete opposite. It was, helping people in the insurance space, like businesses recover during like big natural disasters.
So quite a suit-esque job, you know, quite corporate-y.
Oh yeah. That's why I feel like I can relate to all the people who I'm helping out, you know, both in the corporate world and blue collar, is because, you know, I've lived it. Right. Yeah. I think there's a lot of also people who have worked as, you know, career coaches or, you know, had an HR background and then went into career coaching. And they're like, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm like, There's been so much shift in 2 months of the job market, let alone 20 years or 10 years or 5 years. And I think that's another huge miss, is that you see, like, they're almost preaching like number of years and experience as if it's the same thing as results and understanding the ground level, you know, trench war that's going on in the job market right now.
David, I love this. You talk so much sense, and I'm often preaching this to people that I speak to as well. So, you know, similar, I can relate to that. I was working, I mean, it was still recruitment, but it was very much that big business that was building, like, you know, there was group level, there's mid management, senior management, all sorts of things. And I had to get out. I didn't fit the mold. You know, I was performing immensely and I was the top performer, but it just wasn't me. You know, I'd break the rules. I was a nightmare to manage, in all fairness. But that's why I've now gone it alone. So look, I guess that's where the idea came about. What did it look like at day one? So were you kind of doing this as a side gig in addition to the insurance type job? And I mean, how was it running? Because it sounds like it was all pretty organic and all self-driven.
Yeah. So it was, just to back to your point about like being unmanageable, you know, I thought, just so we can finish up that one, I thought that I was legitimately going to go and do insurance claims for the next 40 years of my life. I thought I was going to retire doing insurance claims. Wow. I didn't mind it. And I really enjoyed the people who I worked with. I had an incredible team, you know, legitimately like 99% of the people I worked with were incredible. It's just the reality was that as soon as you kind of catch this bug and you start realizing there's more to the world than, you know, Excel sheets and, you know, the corporate environment, if you're somebody who loves, you know, or who catches on and gets that bug, and you're not somebody who loves that environment, you're going to find any opportunity to come up for oxygen and do the thing that you want to do that is way more you feel passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I felt like to answer your question that you just asked, it was always itching at me because I was doing all this stuff on the side. I mean, while I was working, you know, the 40, 50, 60 hour weeks, I was also going in, you know, putting in the 10, 20, 30 hours a week on the side stuff, whether it was working on a startup or it was doing the content. But once I had gotten laid off, I just had all of this time to be able to dedicate fully to the thing that I want to do, which was help people who were in my position mm-hmm. 5 years ago or just starting college or in high school yep. or now at this point, just coming out of college and trying to find their first job. And, you know, that's what really drew me to there. So yeah, it was all organic. It was self-driven. And yeah. honestly, I needed to be able to breathe. And so I think that it worked out for the best.
Yeah. No, for me, I was just quite interested to know what it looked like at the beginning because, you know, I checked out you on your socials, as we say these days, and your figures are pretty astronomical. And so I made a note here. What is it, like over 700,000 subscribers on YouTube, 200,000 on Instagram? You got banned from TikTok, and we'll come on to that.
That one's a more interesting story because it, So we could definitely get into that. I think that there's some interesting stuff going on there, but
we're talking like huge figures to your average individual, you know?
First of all, I mean, anybody who's been in my comment section, who's like seen my posts knows how grateful I am that, you know, I'm in a position because most people don't even get the shot in their life to be able to like communicate to that many people, let alone provide free resources, provide information, provide how-tos to negotiate and be able to land opportunities.
Yeah.
I think that what people have seen consistently is literally from like zero followers, 100 followers, you know, 200 community members, 10,000 community members, 100,000, a million. It's always been consistent for me, which is that I could care less what the number says. I care way more about, am I actually helping people?
Yeah.
It's also why you see on like, for example, Instagram, the highlights, I only show the results. Because to me, you can have all the followers in the world, but if you're not actually helping people do the thing that you're claiming to help them do or claim to try and help people do, well, that it's meaningless. It's just a number. But that stuff fades away so quickly. And so for me, I'm just grateful that I can actually contribute and help there. As far as is your question about how I built that, about how it came about?
I guess almost how it developed. So you kind of, to start with, it was a bit of a side gig. You enjoyed it. You know, you saw this bit of a gap in the market. At what point, I guess, did you think this is going somewhere? Not financially, because again, we'll come on to the financial side of things and the fact that you give everyone for free, which is absolutely incredible. But at what point were you like, oh my God, this is really getting some traction? Because, you know, I've been there, you know, I haven't got anywhere near that level of following or community, but I have a good post on LinkedIn or something. I'm like, oh yeah, like it's a bit of a, you know, endorphin rush. You feel good about it. At what point was it you were like, okay, there must have been a holy shit moment?
Yeah, I think that, so some context, I had like played around with posting back in 2019.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of like my personal account, like just posting some random videos, right? Mm. But I really enjoyed that process of learning and creating. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, during like the first part of 2020, I had actually like built a fan page for like one of the bigger creators on Twitch. And what I realized in that process was that I have no idea what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was still able to grow it to tens of thousands of community members.
Wow.
And so if I have no idea what I'm doing there, what happens if, and the whole point of that, honestly, I go in, there's so much to go into, but on that particular thing, what I was hoping to do was, hey, I build this. I go and talk to that person and I say, hey, I built this thing. Do you want to take me on full time? And then I can kind of build that skill of building large communities while simultaneously getting that on that track record of doing it so that I could leverage it to go and build my own business, right? Mm-hmm. Of helping manage different creators and helping manage businesses, social media accounts.
Yeah.
But then I had like a like light bulb moment where I was like, okay, I'm sitting down with this person that I'm creating a fan page for right now. And they say, well, if you can do it for me, why haven't you gone and done it yourself? Like literally I had that like imaginary conversation with them in my mind. And I was like, wait a second, like, I don't have a good answer to that. And so that's why after like, I was realizing that the stuff on Twitch wasn't working. I was like, why don't I go back to this stuff on TikTok, but instead of doing it for like an influencer / creator, why don't I try and do it for myself and see where I can get. Mm-hmm. And within the first post, you know, after I had already done hundreds of posts on my own personal one and this influencer account, you know, this first couple of posts, you know, I was gaining 100 followers a day.
Wow.
Right? 100 community members a day. And it was off of, and again, I didn't necessarily know what I was doing because I was just basically cutting out content. Now, this time I could actually control the piece of creative and what was going on within that video. And so because I was able to do that and I saw the early traction, I knew that I had a potential moment, especially because it was still early on. People were thinking, and people still think this, which baffles my mind, that TikTok is a dancing app. It is not. I don't know why people still have that conception. You're literally seeing businesses get built from the ground up there without any dancing content whatsoever. It's literally built around trends, and now it's incorporating SEO and being able to actually rank for SEO. There's so much, you know, going on there. But to the point about like where I saw it earlier on. I just didn't know how big it was going to get. You know, obviously, I wasn't really focusing on the numbers. I was focusing on, am I helping people? And I was seeing that in the qualitative and quantitative data.
Wow. So look, I guess on that, the helping people side of things, like it's always, this is where I came across you as, you know, various, it was the tips, it was the tricks. I mean, that must feel incredible. Because as you say, look, you got very open, you got laid off yourself, and that's how you kind of fell into this. So you know how crushing that can perhaps feel, what emotions people are going through. How did it then feel to be almost on the other side of the table where you're giving out this advice and, you know, people are saying, oh my God, thank you very much. You know, how grateful they are. I mean, as a recruiter, we get it. But, you know, on that scale where everything is for free, and like for me, it's some of the best stuff that I've come across in terms of advice. Best, as you say, it's better than, you know, people that are trying to tout themselves as gurus and career coaches and resume experts, etc. For me, a lot of it is better because it's more actionable. How did that make you feel? Because like, so you've gone through that period of, oh my God, this is going somewhere, I could do it for myself, and then to start getting the that positive confirmation and feedback on it. What was going through your head then? How did that feel?
Well, first of all, that's tremendously kind of you. The short answer is absolutely incredible. like you said, I've been on that side. And when you're told at the start, like, because everybody who had, you know, who had even asked me what I was up to, and I would tell them, they would be like, are you out of your mind? Nobody has ever like done that. You know, it's, you need to go and build a business. You need to get money in the door. You just got fired. What are you thinking? Right. Mm-hmm. Why are you putting this out for free? And all I could think was, if I don't do it now, who's going to do it? Because it wasn't happening for years. I had been waiting for somebody who had expertise, years of experience, putting it out without a financial incentive to sell you on something. Mm-hmm. I had been waiting for that person. And so now, you know, I was in a position where, okay, I can go and put this out. And yeah, even though I'm in a position right now where financially it would like put me in a not, you know, stress of a mountain, you know, on my shoulders, I also knew that that's exactly why people don't go and put it out for free. They are so scared of taking the risk of like, hey, and by the way, I'm still in this position. If I go and lose the virality, lose the traction, I can't go and get the business, versus now I can try and like monetize. And I know for sure I can get stuff out the door. I didn't do any of that. And I still don't know, even as I'm continuing to not monetize in any way, not taking sponsorships, not doing coaching, not doing courses, not doing masterclasses, not doing an ebook. Even now, you know, I still believe in and have conviction in this idea that this stuff should be free. And the reality is that I just think that there's a lot of greed in the system and people who are trying to claim this mission virtuistic BS that they then use to sell you into desperate job seekers because they're in a compromised position. It's like, you know, you see the practices, I'm sure, but like people are leveraging this mission-based virtuistic, you know, words, but then their actions are like the most capitalistic, let me get as much money as possible and squeeze as much out of these desperate job seekers who are just looking for a chance, an opportunity, that information to be available so that they can provide for their families. And to me, I didn't feel like it was right for me to monetize when I was in a position where maybe I can pull this off and really help people and then figure out how to monetize without having to charge a single individual community member. Yeah. And if I do pull that off, then it's like running the 4-minute mile of the creator economy. Because right now what you see is like a lot of creators, they monetize as quickly as possible because they're trying to make sure that they get the money selfishly so that they can support themselves. But the reality is that they're making millions or like in some cases hundreds of thousands. So it's not really, I'm in this like desperate need to be able to support myself. It's more of like, how can I get the most amount of money before I fade into obscurity and become irrelevant?
Look, the question that's on the tip of my tongue, and I know that I've asked you previously, but I'm sure anyone listening to this would be sitting there thinking exactly what I'm thinking, which is, so how did you survive? You know, not taking any income, not taking the sponsorships, not doing this. I mean, how is that possible? Because there may well be other people that have similar ideas, but they just literally don't think it is possible. So what's the secret?
Well, you said survive. The answer is, first of all, it's changing the question. Surviving, right? I'm still doing it, right? I'm still not charging my community or anything like that. And I put out like a 44-part short series where I explain exactly step-by-step how I've been saving the money. Mm-hmm. In large part, it was negotiating rent, living below my means. So like I would save on every single cost, whether it was behind food, utilities, basic things. I would go in and make sure that, I was measuring exactly what I was taking in and exactly what I was spending, what I was saving every single month. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is living like a cockroach is the way that I put it. Wow. Because, you know, the reality is that you can't pull this off unless you're like, one, having conviction in what you're doing, which was me trying to make sure that I'm providing every single thing I can for free to help every single job seeker I can. Mm-hmm. And two, doing it in a way where I'm able to do it for the longest period of time. So I had built up savings while I was working full time. I've poured my life savings into this since I was like, 12, 13 years old. And I've basically not spent on anything that was either unnecessary or like wasn't a very small thing. And so that's one piece of it. Two is the whole saving on costs where I was talking about negotiating rent, saving on costs as far as food goes and all that type of stuff and clothes. And then three, it's also the split side of it is now I'm trying to help different brands and businesses build out their social media after successfully doing it for myself at scale. And now I've helped clients do it on their own social media, literally go from zero to like tens of thousands of followers, millions of views across platforms. And so, if I'm able to pull this off on the business side as well, I truly believe it is the 4-minute mile of the creator economy, which is creating, value and helping people literally, change their lives with some like the negotiating salary and doubling salary or getting, 50% more and landing jobs after being in a 6 to 12 month drought of having no opportunities without ever having to monetize them through any means of charging them.
Incredible stuff. And I know that a lot of my network is very kind of pharmaceuticals focused, but tons of people that tune in are job seekers, and this will be so valuable to them. And I'll be directing everyone over to your page. Not that you need any help building that by the sounds of things. It's an incredible journey. That blueprint on that side of things, David, I'd pay for that because money just falls out of my pockets at times, particularly with my missus. We almost, it's laughable. So I need to take a note out of your book on that one. Speaking of kind of my partner, Lucy, when I spoke to you initially, I was like, she was like, okay, what is this guy all about? And I was just like, It's you're exactly what you say you are in terms of, just trying to help people, et cetera, et cetera. But I said, he's so sharp, accurate, and just talks a lot of sense, which I was just like, almost was baffled by. It's almost like you've built this character, but it's all real. And actually, there's so much sense behind what you say. And as I say, I've come across a lot of people that are charging for services that you are just giving away free. So that is incredible.
Thank you.
In terms of this journey, I mean, what have you learned about yourself along the way? What's the biggest thing that you've maybe learned about yourself? What has it taught you?
You ask a great question. I think that the biggest thing that it's taught me is just how important it is for your actions to show your intent. I think that there's a lot of people, we've talked at length about like gurus and coaches and experts trying to basically sell you into stuff. And I think that one of the major things that, that has always guided me, but like it has been kind of has truly been magnified by this situation and all the stuff that I've been trying to do on social to help people with jobs is that like the actions are what actually shows people whether or not you're authentic about what you're doing. Right. There's a lot of people talking a big game about
the A word.
trying to change the world and trying to, just help job seekers. All that's all we're trying to do, just help people. Mm. And the reality is that you look at their actions and you see that they drop the instant they say something like that. Oh, by the way, go and check out on the comments below. I have a bunch of, you know, our 50% reduced sale just for job seekers coming out of college with, you know, six figures of student debt. Mm-hmm. Or jobs, or you know, the stay-at-home mom who is now going back into the workforce, or stay-at-home parents, dad who's trying to go back into the workforce, and they just need some help. But then, you know, of course, we see, you know, that they're getting charged on something. And so, I think the biggest thing is seeing that, like, on social media, you can't fool people. Like, humans are smart. The audience is smart. You just need to show with your actions that you actually mean it, and mm-hmm. then have patience for all of it to play out. So, like, for example, I wasn't at, you know, 1 million, you know, community members or 700,000, you know, subscribers on YouTube. Like, that didn't happen overnight. It happened with consistently sharing as much value as possible and never putting any type of thing where I was charging for coaching, courses, ebooks, masterclasses. It was always free and it was always available. I didn't even, by the way, like, to the point about that, I haven't even made somebody do an email sign up until very recently on my social media stuff. And I've never done it for the most part, except for one time where I tried it out and I got rid of it within a day. But like, I've always tried to put, like, talking about this whole thing about showing your authenticity with actions, don't even put it in an email sign up. If you actually want to help people, I would say, like, the way that I did it worked really well. I put it in a Google Doc and somebody could click it and it was instantly available. Mm. It wasn't like they had to go through four or five clicks just to get it through maybe an email, or it gets caught in spam, and then maybe you don't end up going and using that as a sales funnel.
David, you know? I can vouch you on that. I downloaded a Google Doc of yours on various marketing trends just this week. So, mm-hmm. you know, that is 100% on board with what you're saying there. Yeah. So that, you know, it's clear that that's what you've learned. I guess challenges, you know, what has been the biggest maybe struggle or challenge, you know, because I mean, as I say, look, we mentioned it earlier, but at one point I know that you got kicked off TikTok. So I mean, mm-hmm. how do you even, I mean, I'm not big on TikTok, you know, I'm trying to get to grips with it now, but how do you get kicked off TikTok? I thought that that was a very unregulated platform that you could pretty much do what you wanted on. So how did that come about?
Maybe in the early days, it was a little bit more. But, you know, from my experience, it's actually the reality is that some things get through, but not for long. If you see, like, really explicit stuff.
Right.
The reality is that there's a lot that they've beefed up in the background, which is basically a lot of automation and AI to identify when something is not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So on that front, you know, they're able to, you know, take down things that shouldn't be there a lot quicker. But with that said, when you have that added automation, you basically have times where it falsely identifies, or false positives where they identify something that isn't actually breaking the community guidelines. And I broke that down again in my series, where I kind of, you know, and I give a lot of credit to, you know, the staff at the platform at TikTok. They're working as hard as you possibly can. They've built a platform to scale, you know, over a billion users, you know, within a fraction of the time that Facebook and YouTube did it, and with a way smaller staff size. So they're trying their best. Everybody's working their butts off. It's just, unfortunately, the platform has different structures in place.
Yeah.
Then people can get caught in the middle of it.
So you basically got caught up in the net. I mean, because I was just thinking, yeah, this guy's, you're basically a saint. You know, you're doing everything.
I do my best. Really well. I don't know about a saint.
everything that you put out is to help others. And I was just thinking, how has this guy been kicked off of TikTok? So, look, I mean, hold my hands up and say I've not watched your run through of that. But I guess if they are now all online, I need to get myself on there and check that out. So,
Yeah, and just to, like, basically put it simply, there was a lot of new guidelines that came in place that was affecting either old content, or it wasn't clear how it was affecting the new content going out.
Yeah,
and so that created a situation where I was, like, temporarily banned. But the real issue is that when you don't know what it is that's affecting your content,
yeah,
you don't know what it is that you're posting, where you need to actually make that adjustment so that the platform feels more confident in the stuff that you put out. And unfortunately, again, with just how overworked, you know, that platform is, and I my sympathy is to the staff, because, you know, they're the ones who are working these, you know, very, very, very long hours, I'm sure, to keep up with everything. It's just the reality is that you can't really get in touch either as easily with those folks. Or if you do get in touch, it's, again, kind of like a runaround. It's it's tough to actually get a real answer. And so, you know, to the point about that, I think that's why it's so important whether you're a creator, a business owner, somebody who's just testing things out, you need to be on other platforms once you start figuring out one and start getting used to the different things. Mm-hmm. And that's why I started expanding to other platforms. And that's why I'm on YouTube now and Instagram and LinkedIn, and now doing a lot of stuff with the social media stuff. So,
yeah. I mean, that leads me nicely on. I was just about to say, I mean, so look, what's next for you? I mean, you've been through this kind of incredible journey of like starting at zero followers, building this huge community, helping. I mean, I don't know. Have you got any kind of stats on the amount of people that you've helped or anything like that?
It's so hard to actually get a real stat because I've had situations.
Don't track anything, but I guess, yeah, you're not getting signups and things. So yeah. But
Yeah. So I, for example, I have like screenshots that I have screenshots. So I used to go live every single day on TikTok. And I would literally answer every single question that I was asked in that live. A lot of the early people who were a part of our community and even people later on know that I did that for close to a year before all this stuff with the community guidelines started affecting my ability to even go live. Like I wasn't even able to do that. But secondly, on the actual front of like when I would go live, some like people would pop in and they would say, hey, like I got a job or I negotiated and got double my salary or 50% more or 20% more or I got three offers. And so I would just screenshot it and then I would like post it with like it circled on Instagram because I wanted to show like, hey, there's results behind this and everything's free. You know, at that point, you know,
It must be millions.
I don't know. I mean, I've gone back on videos and then seen like dozens of comments that say, hey, like this got like using this resume got me a job or, you know, using this negotiation tactic was able to get me more salary or this interview guide helped me answer basically every single question I was asked in the interview. So I don't know. I have like thousands of screenshots, but I legitimately don't know the true scale. And I'm not sure I'll ever know, frankly. So I'm just,
A book running or something on Instagram, LinkedIn, where people could just sign in and you can just have a huge long record of people that you've helped. That'd be incredible. In terms of the next step, so you're getting into kind of the marketing side of things, trying to help out companies, etc. Give me a quick snapshot of where you're at with that. What's next for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've had client where, you know, we've helped to grow them from like zero to over, you know, 20,000 community members, literally from like a brand new account within, you know, a matter of months, you know, a couple of weeks. We've had situations where we've gotten them, you know, tens of thousands of views on accounts where that was otherwise dead before we came in. And so right now that we've actually started having like the success stories, on top of me doing it individually, because that was kind of, I think, the one big thing that people were curious about, which was like, okay, you've done it for yourself, but can you actually do it for a business or a brand? And then we did it at a level that most, you know, I would argue that 99% of agencies or consultancies wouldn't be able to do in the matter of 5 to 10 years. But the reality is like, you know, we were able to now produce those results. And so now we've shown that we could do it on both ends. And so now I'm doing exactly what I did in the career, job search / career help space, which is I'm giving out all the tactics and strategies for free so that people's like social media managers are in a good spot and the business owners that can't afford to bring in, you know, us for the services can get it. And then two, we now go in with the people who can't afford it. And now we 10X, 100X, you know, 1,000X the results on these platforms. And so I'm basically just proving out that this is not like just because it was in the job search and career space. It's when you're an individual that has good intent and wants to put the actions behind making things available and is willing to give up hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to do so, you can do it. It's just a matter of, can you swallow that amount of stress and risk? And that's something that I'm trying to prove out on every single educational niche. So
Man, it is one hell of a story. I mean, that's why I'm so glad that I'm following you. I think probably across all of your channels at the moment, bar TikTok. I'll need to jump online and get on there as well. But look, before we close off the show, in true Huxley Morton podcast fashion, we always finish up with a quick fire questions round.
Okay.
So that, of course, they'll be a little bit tailored for yourself. But look, what would you say is the number one top tip to landing a job using social media?
Take advantage of the free resources, whether it's mine or somebody else's, before you go and pay blindly for a career coach.
Okay, well, my next question, and again, I'm heavy on LinkedIn, but what would you say is the best platform to be using in 2022 as a job seeker?
As a job seeker?
Yeah.
LinkedIn.
It is LinkedIn. I was wondering whether you might go down the TikTok route. And I've actually heard of a lot of people landing jobs through YouTube previously, you know.
Through YouTube or through... Okay, well, are you asking as somebody who would be going and looking for jobs, or are you asking as somebody who would be consuming content on those platforms? Because those are...
As a job seeker, so looking for jobs.
Yeah, if you're looking for LinkedIn. Jobs and applying to jobs, there's no opportunity to do that on TikTok and YouTube. Or I guess TikTok is doing like TikTok resumes, but it's very early on still. Mm-hmm. And they've only launched it and tested with it. But if you're looking for opportunities and you want to be able to network directly with the people who are the decision makers at those companies, yeah, LinkedIn is going to be 100% a better route until one of these social media platforms really wants to dive into job search.
Perfect. And look, I think everyone these days is a big advocate of, you know, personal brand and getting yourself out there. And that certainly counts as a job seeker. But in your opinion, because again, it varies from one person to the next, what sort of content is trending on LinkedIn? Text posts, videos, articles, reposts, you know, you name it. There's all sorts of posts these days. What is trending for you and would you be advising?
Value. It's not about what all of it works. You want to do a text post? I've seen text posts that look like they're a tome and they do tremendously well. I've seen text posts that are literally three lines long and goes viral. I've seen image posts that do well. I've seen images with captions that do well. I've seen images without captions that do well. I think the real key is value. It's whether it's education, entertainment, or both. I try to play in both because then you kind of hit both. Or sorry, hit all, you know, a broader audience. But value is the single biggest thing. And I think that can come in a lot of forms.
Sure. Awesome. I like that. And I guess probably one more for anyone that is looking to build a platform, whether as a job seeker, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. Everyone wants, you know, all of these followers these days. It's kind of almost a badge of honor to a lot of people. What do you say is the biggest misconception about reaching that kind of like influencer status?
What's the biggest misconception about that like people from the outside?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like look at myself as an influencer. I know that like based
you
on
are. You are.
I get it. But the way that I look at it is like I'm literally just sharing what's worked for me and what I'm seeing working as like on the ground level as I'm helping hundreds of job seekers every single week. And so for me, I think the biggest misconception is that like 90% of the people that we look at as influencers aren't in the weeds. So when they're giving their opinion, it's based off of what they either selfishly want or two, something that they might've known from 10 to 15 years ago that's completely irrelevant to today's landscape.
Cool. Impressive stuff. Well, look, David, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on to share your journey, kind of the ups and downs, getting kicked off TikTok. I mean, that's certainly a first for anyone that I've had on the show. But look, for anyone looking to reach out to you, I mean, what's the best way to view your content, you know, get in touch with you, hear about kind of the business, which is Peking X, isn't it? I believe the company.
Yeah.
Name, right?
Yeah. It's just my last name and then X at the end. I think the best way is just, you know, if people are looking for help, whether it's job or, you know, with social media, I think it's just info. So INFO and then my name, David Peking, PAYKIN at Gmail. I just, you know, have that catch all email because that's one that I check periodically to try and help, you know, whoever has questions. So that would be the best one.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, David, absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Likewise.
For being
likewise.
A part of the Huxley Morton podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a great day. And thanks, James, again, for having me on.
Good man.